Jesus is teaching about the parable of the sower. And after the disciples had heard about the parable of the sower, they asked Jesus, well, what's the meaning of this? And then in verse 10, this is what Jesus says. And he said, to you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is in parables, in order that seeing they may not see and hearing they may not understand. And then Jesus begins to explain to them what the parable of the sower is, which, you know, we're familiar with. And then in verse 16, he goes on to the parable of the lamp. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known and come to light. Therefore, take care how you listen, for whoever has, to him shall more be given, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. So in verse 10, it's pretty clear that it's a privilege. Not anyone can just hear or understand or have a spiritual revelation or knowledge, that it's a privilege. To those who are in God's fold, God's kingdom, particularly here, you know, of all the people, of all the thousands or whatnot that gathered, you know, there was a time and a season, and God or the Lord particularly brought revelation, literally, verbally, relationally, you know, to the disciples, you know, as they asked. And, you know, we have, you know, references, you know, ask, seek, knock. You know, if you lack wisdom, I believe it's in James, you know, then ask for wisdom. You know, we ask, but we don't get. Why? Because we ask with wrong motives, or because there's a sin issue, or because we ask with, you know, in doubt. And so, don't doubt. It's pretty simple. You know, enter the throne room. Have complete confidence in who you are and what Christ did and the access that we have. So it's a privilege that we can gain knowledge, that we can gain revelation, and that we have the Lord. Just as, and you know, it's not just a, you know, try to imagine. I'm not saying imagine. It is. Just as the disciples sat at Jesus' feet and asked him questions. Man, you can sit, you know, before the throne in spirit and come before the Lord and ask him. You know, even yesterday, as I was doing my devotion and praying, you know, I had made a comment yesterday, just kind of, you know, just kind of threw it out there about, you know, why do Twinkies taste so delicious and they're so terrible for you? And why do broccoli, you know, man, it tastes so horrible, at least to me, but it's so healthy for you. It's like this, it just seems like in so many things in life, it kind of works out that way. And so I wrote in my journal, I was like, that's, man, that's like one of the number one questions I'm going to ask God. And it seems so simple, but, you know, just the whole idea behind it. Why does something that tastes so good have to be so bad for you? Why is something that's so bad for you, I'm saying so good for you, have to taste so bad? And just, you know, this is kind of like, you know, I want to ask. And I said, why do I have to ask till I get to heaven? Like, everyone says, yeah, when I die, I'm going to ask God. You can ask God now. You know, and so I sat there and I asked God. I said, God, why? You know, I just needed a little reminder, because truly we know the answer, right? And so I just started, you know, breaking down this question. Okay, well, you know, let's make some observations. Okay, well, one, this is totally random. I'm just going to go into it anyways. You know, broccoli is natural. You know, a Twinkie is processed, right? A broccoli will decompose after, I don't know, a few days or a week. You know, Twinkies will live forever because they're processed. And the more I started thinking about it, and, you know, what does it take to create a Twinkie, right? Machines and sugar, you know, a few, you know, items, and really, it's puffed up to be this great substance, which really it brings no nutritional value. A piece of broccoli, you know, takes, I don't know, what, weeks, months? You know, it takes the energy from the sun, nutrients from the soil. I mean, if you think about it in those terms, man, a broccoli is, you know, a pretty amazing thing, right, compared to a Twinkie. Not only that, but, you know, Twinkie, again, you know, it does nothing for your body, right? Temporary, momentary bliss, right? And that's, I mean, if you think about it, right, that's the package, that's the lie of the enemy, right? Yeah, man, do this. It feels good. It tastes good. You know, yeah, you know, instant gratification. This is something I'm working. Annie and I both were working diligently on with Micah. Of course he wants to eat candy. Of course he wants to eat ice cream. Of course he wants to eat cookies. But we're trying to teach him, hey, look, eat this first. You know, the things that are good for you, the things that are proper. And then here's a little reward afterwards. And we're trying to teach him that. But he'll say, no, I want ice cream first. And then I'll eat the pizza. But it doesn't work that way. We know, you know. In any case, so God kind of revealed to me, man, what are you asking for? You want something that's unnatural, that's harmful for your body, and you're asking me why I made things good. Broccoli is good. It's natural. It's I made what is, you know, necessary for you. Right? And so, you know, praise God for cheese, right? You put cheese on broccoli, it's fine. It tastes good. Anyways, moving on, verse 16, 17, 18. So he goes on to the parable of the lamp. All to say here in verse 18, therefore take care how you listen. Right? So now no one after lighting a lamp covers it over with a container or puts it under a bed, but it puts it on a lampstand in order that those who come in may see the light. For nothing is hidden that shall not become evident, nor anything secret that shall not be known come to light. And this is really it. You know, therefore, take care how you listen. Right? There's a good way to listen, and there's a weak way to listen. You can come in week after week, day after day, and how is what you're listening to? How is what you're reading in the scriptures? How is what the preacher is teaching? How is that affecting you? Right? Is it affecting you? Is it bringing about change, challenge? You know, are things coming to you and you're struggling and you're moving forward, you know, however inch by inch you're progressing? Or are you listening constantly, message after message, message after message, and it doesn't affect you whatsoever? You have a listening problem, right? You're not really listening. Things aren't really registering. So, you know, the point here is, you know, take care how you listen, right? When you listen, come before and be open. You know, it doesn't matter the preacher, man. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter anyone in this church who comes up and speaks. If your heart is in the right place, if you have this simple prayer before every message, every sermon, every teaching, Lord, reveal your heart to me today. Lord, reveal something through the teaching, through the scripture, through this lesson. God, I humble myself. Lord, I give you access. That is probably the first step you can take in preparing yourself to be a good listener. And it's not just about being attentive and taking notes. You know, really allowing God, to take an inventory in our hearts. So I just really, you know, really challenge you. You know, take care how you listen. You know, sitting, you know, notes, whatnot, those are all helpful, but, you know, really the real work begins not during, but actually after you leave the message. You know, does it affect, you know, has what I heard affect, has it just kind of tickled my ears, or has it just kind of, you know, moved me emotionally? Man, I don't know how many messages have moved me emotionally. Yeah, I'm so convicted. Wow, that's so good. And yeah, I have to do it. In fact, you know, I'm going to write it on my hand as a reminder. And then it takes no effect. So it's a real, I would say that's the difference between a mature Christian and an infant Christian. On the other hand, sometimes, you know, baby Christians, they just take it all in and they're so hungry and they just do. So there's a little bit of going back and forth on that. Anyways, moving on, turn to Luke chapter 9, verse 13 to 14, and we'll wrap this thing up. And this is what I think is a classic example of, are you really listening to what God or what the Lord is, or what the Spirit is prompting on your spirit? And we're familiar, this is a feeding of the 5,000. In later verses, it's a feeding of the 4,000. In verse 13, chapter 9, or let's start with verse 12, actually. And the day began to decline, and 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away that they may go into the surrounding villages and countryside and find lodging and get something to eat. For here we are in a desolate place. Verse 13, but he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless perhaps we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, have them recline to eat in groups of about 50 each. Right? a classic case of, you know, what is Jesus saying and what are the disciples hearing? Verse 13, man, it is nothing less of an invitation. This isn't, hey, you go collect your money amongst the 12 of you, go down to the market. This is an invitation. This is an invitation. You give them something to eat. It's an invitation for them to take a step of faith. Okay, well, we only have, you know, five and loaves and two fish. Man, if the Lord says give them something to eat, maybe the Lord will provide. Maybe the Lord will do something. This is an invitation for them to take a physical, a natural situation and to operate in a supernatural miracle. And even the amazing thing is even after Jesus performs this miracle, an opportunity comes later with only, seven loaves of bread. And the same thing, he makes this invitation. You feed them. And they totally miss it. How am I going to feed them? How are we supposed to feed them? Even after Jesus had already done this, even after they've been in the same situation, this was an invitation to participate in something amazing. And this is what I like to call, in our daily lives, countless, unlimited faith offerings. In every day, in any situation, they're what I call, you know, faith offerings that are available to us. Things that we can just walk in the physical, in the natural. Yeah, this is what I see, this is what I take it as, and such and such. This is what I should do, or this is what I should say. This is how I should react or respond. Or you take just a moment and say, God, what are you doing here? Or God, better yet, what can you do here? And say, okay, well, this is a normal situation. I know what I would normally do. Okay, this is an opportunity for faith. This is an opportunity for you to operate. And just invite and say, okay, you know, how about if I just pray for this person? How about if I act in a loving or merciful? Or how about if I lose face, lose ground, lose a claim, or lose progression even, or progress, and allow God to maybe work through my sacrifice to bless another person. Keep an open spirit, an open heart to what God is doing around you. Let me just close with just a little illustration. Darkness is an invitation for light. Okay? So where there is darkness, that is an invitation for light. So for example, I don't know if you guys can follow, but here there's a situation of poverty or a situation of lacking in resources. Okay, you could say, you know, a result of the sin. I don't want to go too deep in it. But there's a weakness here. There's a darkness here. It's an opportunity for light. It's an opportunity for people to see the light, for people to see, wow, God, you're amazing. You took five fish or two fish and five loaves and you fed. And so an opportunity, sickness, right? That's darkness, right? That is an opportunity for light. That is an opportunity for God to shine in that situation, bring healing and bring revelation and bring people to faith. Disease, again, poverty, social circumstances that bring underprivileged children under desolate situations. These are all areas of darkness, and we hold the light. Something as simple, and I'll close with this, something as simple as, you know, two people, you're walking down the street, you know, from a distance, 100 yards out, and it's obvious, they're like going at each other. They're kind of yelling at each other. Yeah. We've all been witness to this. What does it mean to be salt and light of the earth, right? What does it mean to bring lightness into darkness? So you're walking down the street here in Hong Kong and someone bumps into another person and someone says, hey, watch out. And the other person says, no, you watch out. And it starts to escalate. And you walk right on past, right? And just whatever, man, that's their problem. What does it mean to be salt and light when literally one man pitted against another man are about to escalate. You know it's about to escalate to the next level, to a push, to a shove, to picking up a foreign object or something and making a swing. You know that one nation over another nation, a push, a shove, you know, picking up, you know, an F-16, I don't know. You know that things escalate because of pride in any given situation, even within the church, an argument about prayer or an argument about how we should use funds. One person says one thing. Another says, you know why we know? We're experts at this because as children, we've seen it in our parents, right? You know when you're in the middle of a heated battle. You know when you're in the center of it, right? Many of us have experienced this, right? Your parents escalate, they fight, and then boom, this thing gets out of hand. You know when you're in the middle of something. Same thing, man. When you're walking down the street and someone's things are about to escalate, you can feel it. You know, when you're in a meeting in a room and someone says something and, man, it's like a drama. Sometimes I just sit back, oh, how's this thing going to end? You know, who's going to get the upper hand or who's going to bring down the hammer? And I'm saying, myself included, that we can't act and live like this. That's not being proper salt and light, right? We mediate. We get in the middle, right? Being a salt and light, bringing light into darkness is, hey, guys, what's going on, man? Hey, you know, my name's Sam. You know, I don't know what's going on here, but, you know, can I help? Right? Just injecting yourself, you know, putting yourself, making a burden that's not your burden, and engaging. Man, God, that is what it means to preserve this dying and decaying world. You know, think about it. All these Christians sprinkled like salt all throughout the earth, right? Capsules, we embody the light of Christ. You don't take a light and hide it under a container. You don't, it's like, you know, like we're some kind of superheroes or something. We have this superpower light and we conceal it with a dark cloak and then we go out and do our work and then we come to church. Waza! You know, you take it off and yeah, I'm a Christian, right? You know, or in special situations, you know, you shed a little bit of light. No, man. You uncloak yourself. You shed that light. You bring light into darkness because that is our calling as Christians. And whether it's a stranger, whether it's a family member, whether it's in the church or in your, you know, workplace, whether it's in a meeting, you know that by one light word or humor or smile or gesture, man, you can deflate an escalating situation that's about to go head to head. And that's my challenge and call for us. You know, that's one simple way that we can be a salt and light today. So let's bow our heads. Just want to read this again. Therefore, take care how you listen. And the second part of this is really important. For whoever has, to him shall more be given. And whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, shall be taken away from him. In your relationship, walk, and the growing of your faith, you can actually gain more knowledge, more revelation. But you can also lose understanding and revelation. Right? I mean, we stay complacent enough. I mean, we all know, we're all our own best examples. You stay complacent enough. We stay long enough away from the scriptures and praying before the Lord. Man, some of the most basic biblical truth, man. Some of the most basic attributes of God become so foreign to us. You actually, by not spiritually training yourselves, can be in a decline. And that's to no fault other than ourselves. That's our own accountability. You know, part of it has to do with our ability to listen, take in, and be transformed through the hearing of the scriptures. But most of it has to do with our own devotion and time with the Lord. You know, therefore, take care how you listen. You know, continue to seek God more revelation. So just come before the Lord and just spend a few moments in meditation. And just two things. Lord, I want to hear and I want to grow. I want to hear and I want to become more like you. Let's make that our prayer. And two, man, we are not ashamed of the gospel. We are not ashamed of Christ. Man, it is the power of our salvation. So I just really challenge as we pray, man, let that light shine. You know, be that salt, be that light in the workplace. You know, particularly in diffusing, you know, escalating confrontations. Man, it's not a show. You know, people, this is real life. People get hurt. People walk away. People don't come back. People take that negative energy and anger and then they project it somewhere else, on their family, on their kids, you know, to someone else in the workplace. And the work of the enemy, it spreads and it spreads and works its way up to leaders, government officials, presidents. And they just take it out on each other. Yeah, so blind, so aimlessly. But we are vessels of light. And we're going to bring blessing, forgiveness, compassion. Let's just pray. Just take a few moments.
You're all I want. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
You're all I want.
You're all. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near.
You're all I want.
You're all. You're all I've ever needed. You're all I want. Help me know you are near. Help me know you.
For our prayer topics today, let's just pray for our local government in Hong Kong. Let's pray for the man in charge. Pray for the United States. You know, people in leadership and authority. You know, and all these, you know, man-made government institutions. Man, that God would raise up men and women of light. You know, people like Daniel, people like Joseph, you know, who rise up in the ranks. And man, they do not fear man. They do not fear nations. They do not fear war. But they fear God and God alone. And the light of Christ, man, is not cloaked in them. So let's just pray for our local government here in Hong Kong, you know, that men and women of God will just rise up, you know, in our banks, in our law firms, in our school systems, education, health, institutions, governments, just that, man, that God's, you know, that God's children, man, that they would make an effect, you know, as we prepare for the coming of our King, man, that we can say, Lord, we gave you our best, and we lived as salt and light. So let's just pray. Lord, we just thank you, Father God. Let's pray also for just our missions teams. Pray for Cambodia, Pastor Nate, as he leads that team. Pray for myself and Michael Cho as we prepare the Uzbek team. And I think there's also a trip to the Philippines coming up later in the year, towards December. So, you know, just pray that as we plan and as we prepare, man, that God would just equip us spiritually, emotionally, physically, as a team, and that we would be an impact. And really change, that God would change and transform lives, that we would be a salt and a light individually and corporately as a mission team and as a church as we support missions. So let's just pray that our church, Solomon's Porch, would be a city on a hill, a light on a hill that cannot be hidden here in Hong Kong and to the nations. Okay, so let's just pray and cover our mission trips. Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. God, we thank you for the reminder, God, that we have the privilege of revelation, God, that we don't have to wait till we die to, you know, get the answers. God, we can, man, go in our room, close the door, get on our knees, God, and we can, you know, plead and ask. And some things, you know, you remain a mystery to us. And God, but other things, God, you reveal so readily, God. But how can we know if we don't ask? God, so we just ask, Lord, for deeper and greater revelation, God. And this light, Lord, this spirit of yours that lives in us, God. Lord, let us reveal it, unveil it, God, and let it make an impact to relationships and to people that we know and people that we don't know. We bless your name, Lord Jesus. Come and live in us today. Transform us. God, we hear you, Lord, and we are affected by it. We confess and profess in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.